It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right.
That's the sound of our podcast taking that off.
Is broom the thing. All right. And she was never heard from again. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that can basically threaten suicide to get its listeners to do what it wants to do. Mm-hmm. And it works. So, thanks.
Until next time.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 218.
And the hat is not empty. The hat runneth over at the moment. That does not mean you should not keep writing. You should absolutely should keep writing. But for the moment, we're good. Because you guys came through, and that's why we love you. For those of you just joining us, we don't love you yet, but we will soon. Came out creepier than I meant it, but
that's all right.
I'm going to stand by it.
Okay.
Here's the way the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, which is kind of weird for a hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And people, our beloved people, write in to that address with little comments, questions, topics, things like that. No antivirus, you cannot restart. You have to wait. Alright, anyway, yeah, so they write in, and the hat, on its own, magically, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's extremely something, servants, draw those out at random, draw note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's our show.
Yeah, I mean, who else has a hat that answers its own email?
Exactly.
Without any assistance from us.
No.
We just reach in there and pull the cards out. We don't even know where the cards come from.
To be fair, I'm not sure the hat is answering, per se, but deals with its own email.
But, you know, when we get enough cards, it does kind of look like the cards are standard index size cards, like cut in two or something. Like,
yes, I assume the hat goes shopping, which is also kind of magical.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
yeah.
Well, we're impressed with it anyway.
Conservation of energy gets really weird.
It's got to be coming from somewhere.
Exactly. So it's been 2 weeks for us. So how was your 2 weeks?
Seems like longer.
It does feel like it's been really long, but nope, 2 weeks. Well, wait, 3 weeks. Because we recorded two in a row. We knew we were going to miss a week.
Mm-hmm.
So technically it's been 3 weeks since we've gotten together.
Seems like it's been that long.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't remember. I mean, you know, I'm working on projects and things, but things that I've done outside, like shows I've watched, movies and stuff, I really don't even remember.
It's official, by the way, as of last week, Constantine has been canceled.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because I know you liked
it. Now, people are still trying to shop it around to other networks, including William Shatner, for some reason, who's getting into it.
But
it's not looking hopeful.
The response was so positive the ratings weren't very good, is that?
Well, that's what it comes down to, because actually, apparently NBC canceled all of its new shows, except one called The Mysteries of Laura, which I've never heard of, but which technically had twice as many viewers in those same demographics. But yeah, so it looks like it's the same stupid, you know, going off of the standard Nielsen ratings, which is a lie, and
well,
that kind of thing.
You know, there's not a single person, I mean, we didn't watch it, but we didn't hate it. It just wasn't our thing. And everyone who I talked to, I didn't even talk to anyone who was like me who thought it was okay, but just stopped watching it. Everyone I talked to liked it and kept watching it. So
I had one guy who saw the pilot and didn't care for that and didn't watch anymore. But I feel like that was tied in to some feelings he had about the lead actress in the pilot, who never shows up again for the rest of the series. So, yeah, there's talk of trying to get it to CW. There's talk of trying to get it to Sci-Fi. There's talk of trying to get it to Fox, because apparently Fox has got the go-ahead to do a series on Lucifer, the DC comic, which I'm very intrigued about. But
Vertigo, I guess, though, huh?
Yeah, Vertigo, yeah. Thanks for trying to get me to upgrade my virus software. But no, I'm doing a show. Shh.
Well, what else do you have to say about your 3 weeks?
Oh, so many things.
Okay, go.
So many. I don't know where to start.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
I'm still playing Infamous 2.
I didn't know you were playing Infamous 2.
Yeah, I gave up. I finally gave up on Witcher 2, and now I'm playing Infamous 2 instead. And I forgot how much I like these games.
The Infamous ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot how much I enjoyed Infamous, and Infamous 2 is better. I also forgot how damn hard they are. I set it on easy, and I still die a fair bit. Like, it's kind of hard, but yeah, no, I'm having fun. You know, it's Assassin's Creed, but you get to shoot lightning out of your hands. So that's pretty awesome. So yeah, I'm enjoying that. Seen movies. Definitely seen movies. Saw Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh. I liked it.
Okay.
It's, as we've discussed before, Guardians is my favorite from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then right below there, Iron Man 3 and the first Avengers kind of have to fight for the next couple spots. Well, now they're also fighting with this one. Those three are the next three slots on my favorites, but I'm never sure which is which.
Iron Man 3?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm. What about Iron Man 1?
Iron Man 1 was good. But
out of the three, I like it the best, but I guess Iron Man 3 was okay.
Just not Iron Man 2. I will say a couple of non-spoilery things about it. That I consider good things. It's funnier. I think they took a page from Guardians.
Okay.
There's a lot more humor, and it's good humor. Like, it made me laugh, not just, like, stupid action movie shit. And Marvel has finally figured out that they've got all of these actors in these elaborate, you know, 12 movie contracts and things, so that they can pull them out anytime they want. So now, people who normally you're like, oh, we wouldn't bring them in for a 30-second dream sequence or a 2-minute flashback or whatever, we're like, fuck it, they're on contract. So you have so many cameos from other Marvel Cinematic Universe things with the actual characters and the actual actors. And that's cool, because you don't notice normally, but you have to work around that in series, you know. You have to, oh, this guy's, for some reason, this character's not here, even though it would make sense for him to be, because we don't want to pay the actor just to show up for this one scene. But now we're like, fuck it, Idris Elba, come here Tuesday, you're going to be in a dream sequence for 30 seconds. Dude, read the fine print in your contract. And so that was pretty fun. I know a lot of people freaked out about what was perceived as sexist shit in this one. They're absolutely not wrong, but it's true in every single other Marvel film that they've already done, including the first Avengers, so I'm not sure why they're freaking out so much this time. But, I'll tell you, one of the Avengers at a point in the movie gets captured. Only one. guess who? So yeah, that shit's kind of dumb. The producer did not like it as well, I believe. Partially, she said it screwed up a lot of her headcanon.
Oh.
Which I could see that, because they introduced some new things here that it's like, what?
Oh. I wouldn't know the difference.
I also will say, when I first heard about James Spader being cast as Ultron, I was like, yeah, that's fine. He does good. No, he was a great choice.
Okay.
They wrote that character way more interesting than I expected, and he nailed it. It's like him on The Blacklist, which was the only good thing about The Blacklist. So, yeah, in general, I enjoyed it. There is no final shawarma. There was a mid-credit shawarma, like you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how they've been sticking some jokey thing at the end? Nothing. Fuckers.
It's not special anymore. You just expect it.
Trailers for a lot of films I do not want to see, including Superman versus Batman. Looks terrible.
It does look terrible.
And it's motherfucking Zack Snyder. So yeah, fuck that guy.
I will see it. Obviously, I'll see it, but I'll probably hate it. I can just feel my
hatred. Of all the trailers I saw, the one I will see is Ant-Man, and I'm not excited about it. I just have to for the sake of the thing. And also because I think he's going to be an Avenger, so. Because we're shuffling people around, because some people cost too much now, and some people want to direct and things like that. So we're shuffling people around and setting up for Civil War, which is coming surprisingly quickly, I think. A year or two.
Hmm.
The next Captain America is the Civil War plotline.
Yeah, you Marvel fans are so lucky. You're just getting all this stuff. And DC fans are getting very little, and it's not very good.
And it's like, from Zack Snyder.
It's just, like the whole Suicide Squad thing.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like,
no way.
But I mean, to be fair,
I'm not a fan of the Suicide Squad anyway, but.
The last movie in the Marvel universe that's set out right now is Inhumans. I'm like, really? That's a weird switch. Yeah, Suicide Squad thing, I don't even.
But the only thing DC's got going that's cool is the next Arkham game.
Yes. Well, and supposedly at some point we'll actually get a Wonder Woman movie, so that'll be cool. But
well, maybe it won't be, though.
That is true, too. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing worse than not having a Wonder Woman movie is having a really crappy one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I could very easily think it's really crappy, and yet, the box office could think it's great. Totally, you know, it could be a total box office success, and I could be completely disappointed.
And if it's a box office success, we might get more, so that could be a good thing. But, yeah. No, you're going to have problems with it, of course. And so will I, if I see it, which I might. But yeah, I liked it. It was good. What else have I seen? I want to see the new Mad Max. It's getting really good reviews.
Well, some of the press I've seen on it, not like trailers, because they're all just
a
bunch of driving around and people flying through the air, but other types of press, like interviews with some of the actors and stuff. Yeah, it seems like it might be really interesting.
Yeah, I thought... Yeah, it looks like it might be worth seeing, but, like, I don't know that I'll bother to see it in the theater or whatever.
Yeah.
But people are really into it. So may check that out at some point. I'm once again reading Dresden to Trish. We are about a third of the way through the 8th book, Proven Guilty. She seems to be enjoying that. I feel like I should have more stuff to talk about.
In 3 weeks you didn't do any gaming with your group or anything?
We did like once.
Wow.
And it didn't go very far at all. At this point I'm just dragging them through to get finished with this campaign before we start the new one.
Hmm.
No, I have one more thing, but I was saving it for last, and I just wanted to make sure that it's last. So, are you familiar with the Riff Tracks guys?
No.
All right. Are you familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys?
Yeah, sort of.
Yes. Okay, if any of you are weird like William, it was these guys out of Minnesota that would show old movies on public access cable and then make fun of them.
Yeah.
During the movie.
Right.
With a premise that they were on a satellite and some of them were robots and things like that.
And two of the characters were puppets, actually.
Yes,
and
yes, because they were robots.
Regular guy.
And it was on public access Minnesota TV, and then eventually it went to Comedy Central for many, many years. And then I think it ended up on Sci-Fi for a little bit.
I saw a few when Joel was still doing it, and they were really hilarious.
I'm a big fan. I didn't get to really discover it till college because I didn't have any cable. But
yeah, me too.
Then I discovered it in college and became a huge fan. Anyway, when that finally ended, it mostly broke. They splintered into two groups. One group with Joel in it started up a thing that may already be done called Cinematic Titanic, which is pretty much Mystery Science Theater 3000, but without the weird meta-narrative. Like, we're not pretending we're somewhere or anything. It's just those guys making fun of a movie.
Okay.
And then three guys, which is specifically Mike Nelson, who was the second human after Joel.
Okay.
Kevin Murphy, who was there almost from the beginning as Tom Servo. He was technically not there in the public access days, but the guy who played Tom Servo, the gumball machine one.
Okay.
And then Bill Corbett, who is the guy who came in near the end when the guy doing Crow and one of the mad scientists left the show. Trace Ballou left the show, and this guy came in to replace him.
Okay.
These three guys started Riff Tracks. And again, same concept, movie, make fun of it. The major difference between the two is instead of following the old method where you got old, shitty movies and you got the rights to show them and make fun of them, they would create audio tracks making fun of whatever the hell movie they wanted. They frequently went after the real big budget ones. Twilight, they went after Avengers, just, you know, whatever. But they're only selling that audio track by itself. So you buy it, you download it, and then you start it at the same time you're starting, like, your DVD or whatever.
Okay.
And so you sync it up. So then they don't need the rights to anything.
Right.
They occasionally will still do some older stuff where they have, like, old instructional films and things like that. And they also occasionally do live events where they actually get a live audience and then it gets broadcast to movie theaters. You know, Sycamore does a lot of things like this. They'll transmit the Metropolitan Opera and things like that. Well, they do the Riff Tracks ones. And in fact, a few years ago, Trish took me to see a Christmas special one that they did where they had a bunch of different shorts of old Christmas films and stuff.
Okay.
And it was pretty fun. Anyway, they're doing a thing this year they're calling the Crappening, where four times this year they're doing live showings like that of movies. And they're actually doing two, well, they're doing the live show and then a week later they're doing an encore presentation of it.
Okay.
In December, they're going to do something called Santa Claus Meets the Ice Cream Bunny, which looks like some 60s thing that probably gave Sid and Marty Krofft the inspiration for their TV shows. In October, they're doing some action movie called The Miami Connection that I'd never heard of. In July, they're doing Sharknado 2.
Wow.
And then just this month, they did The Room.
They did.
They did. Now, they famously did The Room a long time ago, but this is a different set of jokes. Okay. And apparently they did like a Kickstarter for this whole thing or whatever. So I still haven't heard the actual one from their site. I should buy it and listen to it. This was a whole new one that they did. And I went and saw that not last night, the night before.
Oh.
nobody would go with me.
Well, were there a lot of people there?
There were a lot of people there, yes. And in fact, I ran into a coworker and sometime listener to this podcast, who it turns out may be the only person I've ever met who is a bigger Room fan than me. She was chiding me for not having read the book yet. So
there's a book.
There is essentially a tell-all book from the guy who played the secondary male character about the making of it, called The Disaster Artist. And apparently it's been optioned to be a movie in which James Franco is going to play Tommy Wiseau. But yeah, so she, I mean, we didn't go together. She showed up with her boyfriend there, and she's like, I didn't know you liked it. But everybody else fell in, all of my friends and associates fell into either the already have plans I can't get out of camp, or the not if you held a gun to my head camp. So I went by myself, and you have not lived until you've seen The Room on the big screen with theater sounds. I got to discover all sorts of exciting new things, bits of commentary and stuff that I didn't hear before because the sound quality's really horrible and stuff like that. And, of course, the Riff Trex guys were also hilarious. So it was really fun. And it is funny, though, because the audience, half the times when they laughed, it wasn't from the Riff Trex guys. And I know at least one person in the theater had never seen The Room before, because there was somebody way up in the back that every once in a while I'd just hear them go, "What?" And I was like, yep, clearly they have not been prepared for this. So, but that was amazing. That is either my third or my fourth viewing of it. I learn things every time.
Mm-hmm.
This time I became very aware there are some lines in it that are almost self-aware. I mean, I don't think that was the intention, but there are bits where something happens and your brain immediately goes, that doesn't even make any sense because XYZ. And the very next line of a person is, that doesn't make any sense because of XYZ. And I'm like, wow, how'd they know that? Or like something happens and you're like, yeah, you keep saying that, but it's not true. And the next person says, you keep saying that, but I'm like, oh my God, they actually pointed out how ridiculous that one part was. And then they go on to do something insane and it doesn't matter. But it was beautiful. It gave me loving pains right behind my eyes. And I will say, it's bad too, because you also have to then see the sex scenes on the big screen. And the weird undulating butt cheek of Tommy Wiseau is like this big on the screen. It's just awful. That was not good. But
nobody saw how big that was.
I know, but you did. Yeah. You did. It's big, people. Do the I love you this much gesture, and then imagine that is a pasty, zombie, undulating butt cheek.
Thank you for that.
Or a catfish in a suit, as they said.
Do you know what? Joel and one of the guys, I don't know which one of the guys it is that did the puppet voices in Mystery Science Theater. I think it seems like it's the guy that did the...
Kevin Murphy did the voice of Tom Servo.
Trace Ballou did
the voice of Crow.
Okay, well, Joel and one of those guys.
Yeah.
I presume it's the guy you said he was working with on projects.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's Trace Ballou.
Okay, well, they're working on a web series called Other Space. Uh-huh. You can watch it on Yahoo. It's a Yahoo original thing.
Uh-huh.
So if you ever... I don't know if you're still watching Community on Yahoo.
No, I've never watched Community with any regularity.
Oh, okay, well.
But yeah, season 6 is over on Yahoo.
Right,
yeah.
And if you're watching it, did you see Other Space promoted all the time? And
the only Yahoo TV I've watched was Burning Love, which was a parody of a dating show that I really enjoyed.
But Joel's in that. He's the engineer on the ship, and then there's a little droid who's voiced by the servo guy. And they're probably the best part of it so far. It's kind of a low-budget, marginally funny kind of thing.
Just like they started.
I mean, it's fun to watch, and it's, I mean, you know, it's like 20 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and it looks like one of those things that might start really slow but get a lot better as time goes on.
Yeah.
So it's probably worth giving it a shot.
The producer started Game of Thrones the other night without me, which I've decided I'm okay with. I'll get to it at some point, but
I don't know if we'll ever watch it. I mean, we watched the first one a long time ago, and we just didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't horrible, but we just, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what? So we stopped watching.
It's one of the, I'm having the same feeling, like, because I wasn't particularly interested, because I read the first book and did not like the first book. But it's like with the reimagining of Battlestar Galactica, I'm like, it's becoming such a part of the zeitgeist and such a part of the cultural conversation, I feel like I need to see it.
Yeah, I've often
But then again, I managed to get out of never watching Mad Men or Breaking Bad, so
yeah,
fuck it, you know?
I haven't watched either of those either. But, yeah, I kind of felt the same way after a while. It seemed like people are always making, like you said, jokes, and yeah, and it's
and for a little while I could follow it because I read the first book, which is essentially the first season, but I never read the others, and apparently it's totally a separate storyline now. Like, they've gone off the reservation compared to the... I've got to get that out of my vernacular.
Off the reservation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it doesn't come up very often, but it's only in the last couple of years that I suddenly, like, became aware, holy shit, that's not right.
No, it isn't.
But it comes up, like, in those 2 years, I've probably used it, like, four times. It doesn't come up very often.
Well, you know, it's interesting that I've heard that expression a lot more in the last couple of years. It's not an expression I've ever used, but it seems like I don't remember hearing it a lot before a few years ago, although I'm sure people use it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing it that often.
I recently decided, and this is going to sound weird, but...
Okay.
I have finally decided I am going to stop using the word tranny.
I didn't know you used that word.
I did, in fact. I used it, and I was aware that there were some people that considered it offensive. But I also knew a fair number of transsexuals who self-identified with it. And to me, there was no pejorative attached to it. Yeah. I think I tend to specifically use it for transvestites, essentially.
Okay.
But I don't remember what it was recently. Something just came up recently, but there's been a few things. And I'm like, it matters to enough people that it should matter to, that I'm just not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... I still personally don't find it offensive when people refer to a trans person that way. Well, I mean, context aside, obviously there'd be times where, but you know, I vastly prefer that to the person at an old job of mine who referred to somebody as a he/she. So, you know, but it bugs enough people, and I don't have any strong attachment to the word. And I very quickly, I become one of those damn people. And it'd be funny if he's listening to this, but I don't think he ever did. But he's a Facebook friend of mine. Somebody went on a rant one time, and I've seen rants like this before, where people get outraged because people get mad at them for using the word niggardly.
Okay.
Because the word niggardly has no attachment to the N-word.
Right.
But there's also never a time in the universe where you really need to use the word niggardly. So the only reason you ever use that word is to hope that somebody freaks out, and then you can say, it doesn't have nothing to do with that, shut up. So, you're right, you're not saying the N-word or a variant thereof, but still, fuck you. And I feel like if I felt the need to cling to tranny, I would basically become that guy.
Well, you know, the word means to me, and it's always, apparently...
Transmission on a car.
There's that. And that's, but in the use that you're talking about, it means a male prostitute who presents as a female.
Yeah.
And then more than that, it's used to just apply to any trans person, just sort of this blanket thing.
Yeah.
And to imply that it's always a perversion or it's a perversion or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, as long as I've heard that word used that way, it's always been offensive. I've never heard it used by a trans person in a kind of a, I'm going to claim this positive way or in a way where it's okay for a trans person to call themselves and other trans people that, but not other people. I've never heard it. It's always been something that a person said to first and foremost mean a male prostitute presenting as a woman, but more than that, projecting that onto all trans people as if they're all sexual deviants.
And it may, again, be, for all of my gender issues, my introduction to the world of transsexuality was very liberal and gentle, and so, like, trans hate is not something I encountered for quite a while. So that could be some of it. But thank you so much. You reminded me of something very important I did want to talk about.
Okay.
You are probably not familiar with this person. There's a comedian by the name of Amy Schumer.
Yeah, I know who Amy Schumer is. You know
who Amy Schumer is? Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't, Amy Schumer is a stand-up who sort of came, and I hate to say this, I'm not saying this is justified or anything like this, but essentially she developed some celebrity by performing on some of the Comedy Central roasts, which she got onto because she was dating a mainstay of those, comedian Anthony Jeselnik, at the time. That did seem to be how she got her foot in the door of things. But anyway, they broke up. She's moved up. She's got her own TV show now on Comedy Central called Inside Amy Schumer. It's a sketch comedy show.
Yep, I've heard that.
I have not been a big fan of Amy Schumer. I'm not, like, opposed to her or anything. To me, she hits a lot of what I consider kind of played out female comedian tropes.
Well, and that the reason I know about her is because she is alternately celebrated by feminist commentators and panned by feminist commentators.
Well, and for a long time, so I found her sort of not feminist and just sort of tired.
Not particularly anti-feminist either,
tired. Yeah. It was a lot of just old girl comic cliches, and, you know, like you take the tropes of the men, of the guy, oh, they're up there talking about their penis all the time. She's up there talking about her vagina all the time, and it just, I mean, I wasn't offended. I just didn't think she was that funny or that original.
Yeah.
And I saw bits of her show a couple times. Whatever.
Yeah, I also looked her up and watched a few things, and I didn't think she was...
But I didn't find a problem with her, such that recently, funny. Her third season of her show has come out.
Yeah.
And I've been up late or whatever, or on the weekend, and there's an episode of it, and I've watched it because there's nothing else on, and I've watched bits of it. And holy shit, something has happened. I don't know. I feel like she's decided that a third season, she's secure enough or something, because she's letting her feminism come out like crazy, and also fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It started, there was an episode where the primary story in it involved her walking in the woods and coming upon Tina Fey, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Patricia Arquette sitting at a table having a party because they were together to celebrate Julia Louis-Dreyfus's last fuckable day, which is apparently a thing in Hollywood where you hit the point where they will no longer cast you in any sort of role where it might be believed that you have sex. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus made it very long, and so they were talking about this, and they were talking, and it's this whole just knocking out of all the stereotypes that are there, and she's trying to understand, and she's like, so who tells men they have their last fuckable day? Oh, honey, men don't have one of those. They can go to 80, and everybody thinks it's cool, and whatever. It was actually the three of them, so it was hilarious on top of that, because they do this fake thing where you think it's going to be a Viking funeral, and so it's really weird. But, so that was really good, and then in that same episode was the most brilliant thing ever. It was a Friday Night Lights parody.
Yeah.
New coach in town, and he does things a little different. And the small town's very into their football team, and he does things a little different, but they're, you know, he's got a great record. That's why they hired him. And he has three main rules that make him different from other coaches. And one is blah, blah, some football thing I didn't understand. And another was blah, blah, something with doing practice or whatever. And the third rule, no raping.
Well, that's a good rule.
And the team is shocked. And they're like, what? Wait, what? And they're like, coach, do you mean, like, just only raping at away games?
Oh, my God.
And it's like, no, not at all. It's like, well, okay, what if she's drunk? No, it's not. And then, like, cut to, it's like an hour later, and one of them's like, I still don't get it. What if my mom's the DA, and I know she won't press charges? It's like, no, it's still not okay. It's like, okay, what if she says yes, but then later she says no, like a crazy person? And he's like, you have to stop. They're like, what? And then you cut to, like, he's coming home to his new house, and, like, there's old ladies walking down the street, and they're yelling at him and throwing stuff at him. They're like, you're going to cost us the championship. Don't want our boys raping. And goes on for the whole thing. It was amazing. Up to an impressive halftime pep talk that he gives, which is this impassioned speech in which he basically also goes through the fact that it should not be surprising that basically he explains that the way we treat our football players is essentially setting them up to be raped. He's like, you don't need to rape. You need to go out there and win because you are nigh unto gods in this town, and you have to go and get what you want, and don't let anything stop you. No matter what resistance you're up against, you get it and take it because you deserve it. And this whole speech. And it's just amazing. Loved it to death. And so now I'm starting to wonder, you know, this is interesting. And then I discover one of the most recent episodes that is a huge, I didn't discover it, like it's all over the place. She did, I told you it's a sketch comedy show. She did an episode that was all one sketch. And the sketch was, I'm going to have to, there's a lot of bits to this here. But the sketch was a remake of 12 Angry Men. Complete with being in black and white and very much in the 50s style. But instead of determining whether or not the young man is going to prison and or going to be killed, given the death penalty or whatever, the 12 Angry Men are together to determine if Amy Schumer is hot enough to be on TV. And they got everybody. Dennis Quaid is the judge. The jury foreman is Jeff Goldblum. Who's the guy who played John Adams? How did I lose his name? Veteran character. Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti's in it. Nick DiPaolo's in it. Kumail's in it. Tons of people. Just hilarious guys. And it's a beat for beat. I went and looked it up because I've never actually seen 12 Angry Men. They match scene for scene in so many places. It's amazing. It is amazing, and it is hilarious. There's a whole scene in 12 Angry Men that involves the weapon in question, and it's a switchblade.
I've seen it a few times, several versions of it. They do the same thing,
but it's with sex toys, because one of the evidence was this dildo that she had, and they're like, see, nobody would sleep with her. Why would she need that if she was having sex with it? And one guy says, other people have them, and he pulls out one himself. He's like, what is this? He's like, no, this is my wife's. And we use it together. She's not alone. We both love this thing. This enormous thing. The breakdown at the end over the sun is the breakdown of this girl that didn't go to prom with that guy. It's amazing. And everybody's just so committed. And it's hilarious. And riddled with commentary, of course.
Because
they're talking all sorts of things like, I'd rather watch Kate Upton have a show or whatever. And somebody's like, but is Kate Upton funny? And they're like, it doesn't matter when you're a woman. And they're like, the guy is there to be funny. I just want the girl there to distract me so I don't have to picture him in a bikini. And like all of this stuff. And Paul Giamatti has a bit about, besides, women don't need orgasms. That's just science.
That's just science.
It's amazing. And so I'm totally, like, I feel like I've rediscovered Amy Schumer and really enjoying
her stuff. When I first, like I said, you know, she kind of made, when you follow feminist news, she has come up.
Yeah.
Both celebrated and I wouldn't say reviled, but
she's given a couple of really impressive keynote speeches recently.
But so I went to watch some of her stuff and I wasn't very impressed, mostly because of what you said. It didn't seem original.
Yeah.
It's like, it just seemed like I've heard these jokes before and, not original and not, well, just, I don't know. I didn't think it was not feminist or anti-feminist or anything. It wasn't particularly one way or the other. It just wasn't funny. And that was fine. It's like, okay, you know, I don't like most male, comics either. It's really not my thing, but, I do like, you know, I think the whole thing about women aren't funny is just stupid and ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of women are hilarious, funnier than a lot of men. So I'm always looking forward to, discovering a good comic who's a woman, and you know, she just didn't fit the bill for me. But that's interesting. I mean, it sounds like
I'd like those for bits. Me either. But I'm really into this right now. And yeah, I've seen that. I've got an interview bookmarked. I haven't watched on the 12 Angry Men thing that I want to watch. But I also, Trish sent me a thing. She did a keynote at something recently that was really impressive and really personal because it involved a really sort of terrible experience she had in college involving sex with this guy she had a crush on who calls her at 8 a.m. because he's drunk and just wants to, and it's really kind of terrible, but at the same time it's very insightful and it leads to a very interesting point and still manages to be quite funny in places. I was very impressed. And all of this reminds me completely of another thing I meant to talk about.
Okay.
Because I did another thing.
What'd you do?
So, apparently, the University of Iowa, Fine Arts Department, Theater Department specifically, they have a professor who I believe is fairly new.
Okay.
Who, in her day job, is a comedian, apparently.
Okay.
And so, she needed to do some sort of seminar practicum course, and she decided she was going to do one on stand-up.
Okay.
And so she got 13 kids, well, mostly seniors, 13 students, for 16 weeks, in which they had to craft a 5-minute set. And their final was a performance at the Englert.
Okay.
And Trish and I went and saw the 13 5-minute sets from these different students.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Was not all great. And in fact, fairly early on, I would say probably the worst of the bunch happened, and I was like, oh my god, what are we in for? But I would say easily 2/3 of the performances could totally be on, like, could go on Conan or whatever and totally get laughs and stuff. And of the remaining third, several, I'm like, you just need a little more, like the material was fine, but they got sloppy or nervous, the pacing was weird or whatever, but a lot of it was just hilarious. It was really impressive, and it was really fun. It was a very mixed crowd. It was a lot of college students, but there was also like one much older couple who I think were not prepared for what they were in for. Because, you know, here, this is a problem with college student stand-up. Good stand-up, you're pulling from your life,
I suppose.
College students, A, don't have that much life yet, and B, their perspective on what parts are interesting and important is very skewed. So much about their sex lives, so much about drugs, and so much about mental illness, which I think is a very millennial thing. A lot of people talking about their depression and their anxiety and stuff like that. But yeah, lots of discussion of genitals, lots of discussion of porn, lots of discussion of drugs, including, like, more heavy duty drugs. Like there was talk about weed and stuff, but there was something. But yeah, it was really kind of fun. And yeah, the little old couple, I think they maybe just go to like every Englert thing or something. I don't know. Cause they just sort of sat there, and I don't think he ever got, at a certain point, some of the jokes just cracked the wife up. But the rest of the time they were just sort of stone faced. It was very odd. But so that was really fun, and I really want to take that class. I don't know that I can. I'm like, can I audit a senior level seminar? I'm not an alum, so. But I think that would be awesome. And there was one international student who didn't speak the best English and still pulled off a pretty good... It was a little weird. He kind of played on that and, in fact, closed with one of the most racist jokes I've ever heard in my life. and it was totally one of those, like, nobody else could have done that joke, but there's this vibe, like, he stumbled through it. Maybe he doesn't understand the words, which is total bullshit. He does, but there's like, you want to give him a pass for that. Although I do like that, because he comes out there and he's talking, and it's really sort of choppy English and stuff, and it's like, this is going to be awkward. And he's up there, and he's like, well, there's a lot of stress at school, and like, every night, I have this, should I do my homework or play video games? And it's a tough decision every night, and I always decide the same thing. Lesbian pornography. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, okay, this kid knows what he's doing. Like, this, because there were some that their act was basically puns. And I was like, really? Like, and not like that was the bit. Just like, it was like the safest, lamest, most unrelatable stuff. And I'm like, come on. But others, pretty hardcore. But yeah, so that was really kind of fun. And that reminds me... No, it doesn't remind me of anything. That's actually all the stuff. Although, June 2nd, Nick Offerman is coming to the Englert.
Yeah, I let you know that.
Yes. And we're going. We have the tickets already. And then June 3rd, Craig Ferguson's coming to the Englert.
I think I saw that.
And we have the tickets for that, too. So it's going to be a busy couple of days.
Wow. You're going to go see Craig, too. But we're pretty excited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We love Craig. So, some hat things.
Do we even have time?
Oh, yeah. We got time.
Okay. Seems like it's been a long time.
Not a lot of time, but we got some time.
Okay.
We got like 15 minutes.
Well, not that I'm complaining. I don't care. You can keep being reminded of stuff all night.
That reminds me.
We've only had one show where we didn't draw from the hat. I think we're doing pretty good. We
could have had more.
Yeah.
Or not, the death of the hat. Who knows? But yeah. We were saved by our listeners. Thank you, Easter Bunny.
Wow, this is... Wait, huh?
What?
This is from Azure Talon.
Azure Talon, where the wind comes.
But it actually says Azure Talon with 3 exclamation points that are written out instead of typed as an exclamation point symbol.
That's because he's an asshole. Somebody had to write that. The hat... could get writer's cramp with that.
We don't really know that for sure.
I know, but it's possible. Why risk it?
Dear human hatipede. Human hatipede.
That sounds terrible.
I don't know.
They're sewn together, brim to mouth, all the way along.
At least questions will be more timely now, right? I think meaning that since we ran out, if people write, they, you know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious, but that's the first one we drew.
I guess so.
That apparently they will be spot on from now on.
They won't be backed up for several days because
apparently they will literally be right when they are worth the most to mention.
Well,
that was impressive.
Well spotted, as you're telling.
Yes. And
now you can. Now
he
can
still write, so I'm assuming he didn't get eaten by cancer.
Yeah.
Now, last I knew, he's been in remission for quite a while. So
that's last I knew.
Awesome.
Yes. Very good.
But you should get on the blog and tell us more details, Azure Talon. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, because the people want to know. You had a pretty big fan club here. Wait, that sounds weird.
Does it?
When you had cancer. There were a lot of fans of that.
No.
Here. Well, no, but I mean, no. It is still weird, because, I mean, it's like...
A lot of people who were concerned, that's what it
I
is.
I know, but, yeah, I think fan is the wrong term to do. But, yeah, there was a lot of outpouring of emotion and concern, and I keep them up to date, but I can only do so well, because I just occasionally, out of my peripheral vision, accidentally see a post of yours on Facebook, because I don't really look at Facebook. So we need more information. So you should go to the blog and tell us, because then people can read it, and then also we'll read it, so even if people don't go there, we can tell people. But yes, they'll be more timely, except no.
No, probably not.
But this one was, so that's fun. All right, my turn.
Your turn, go. From the hat.
Oh, from Mark McKibben.
Ah.
Who is quickly determined to re-solidify his position as hard hat number one. See him going through the comments like crazy, which...
He's working at it.
It's a fun game for me to read them and be like, what is he talking about that we were talking about? Because I don't even remember now.
Yeah.
Because I blank this place out after it's done. By this place, I mean my own home. All right, then. Dear C-T-D-M small o T-M-T-H.
What does that stand for?
I don't know. I'm guessing the small o is of, and the magical talking hat is the last part.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what C-T-D-M. Connecticut direct message. Connecticut Dungeon Masters. Dear Connecticut Dungeon Masters.
C-T-D-M? C-T-D-M?
C-T-D-M. Cat, Tony, Damn, Mark.
I don't know.
I'm going with Connecticut Dungeon Masters.
We're probably supposed to know. He's probably called us this in the past, and then now we've forgotten.
Eh. Anyway, there's a question also.
Okay, go.
Dear all of that shit. Imagine a god inserts you into a mystery series. Which series would you most want to avoid? That is weird. It's a perfectly fine question. It's a really weird way to contextualize it. If you were in a mystery series, no, we have a god who just randomly inserts you into one.
Well, that is a little bit different than just saying, what if you could be in any series, what series would you want to avoid? I mean, he's talking about, this is the world you're going to live in, I presume. You're not going to be an actor in the show.
That is a good point, yeah.
This is the world you're going to inhabit because a god has the power to put you in there. So which one would you want to avoid? There's lots I'd want to avoid.
Yeah.
Tons and tons of them. Just about all of them, really. I don't...
Yeah. Well, in general, because there's this era now of more dark and gritty and graphic. I don't want one of those. I want one of the good old time. I want one of the ones that old people feel comfortable watching. You know, technically there's murder, but mostly it's just Tom Bosley as a really nice priest. You know, that kind of thing. Like, there was nothing really hurt, which is weird, by the way. I've always found this weird.
What's weird?
Old people.
Old people? Like, as a group? We're just going to generalize now.
The block of old people.
Okay.
Frequently are bothered by modern media because it is too permissive in terms of sex, violence, language, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's classically
believed to be true classically anyway. The case. And yet they cannot get enough of murder mysteries. Seriously, my parents are the best. You say, here's a TV show where people kill people and somebody else figures out who did it. They'll watch it. It's insane.
Well, my mom.
And apparently like 40% of British television is just murder mysteries.
Yeah, my mom, you know, nicest, gentlest person you probably could ever know. But she was totally fascinated, really, by crime in general.
Yeah.
It wasn't. She liked those shows, but she liked...
Well, and books. My parents read mystery novels constantly. Yeah,
and but also, like, she would enjoy the shows that are on now, like, that are forensic about crimes and stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Little old ladies love damn Law & Order SVU. And I, like, physically cannot bring myself to watch a single episode of it. But it's hugely popular and mainstream popular.
Yeah. I'm actually, like, now that I think about it...
How is that a thing?
My mom's mom also liked that kind of stuff.
You know,
so my mom
you know what I love?
Her.
Murder mysteries. And you know what my favorite variety is? Law & Order. And you know what my favorite version of Law & Order is? The rapey one. How the hell is this a thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Onion, the terrible, terrible Onion movie... had a bit doing this where they had a scene that was a new person invited to this group that does the how to host a murder mystery parties, you know? Mm-hmm. But apparently they had gotten tired of those, so they had switched into these host a rape investigation parties. And so somebody was a rape victim, and then they had to solve the crime. And the person was horrified, and they're like, why is this so much more horrible than pretending somebody was brutally killed in this one? But of course it is, but it... Why? Like it gets really weird. We watched Murder, She Wrote, we watched Matlock, and I was a kid, and we were totally fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. That's not... Well, it's weird.
The thing is, it's funny we should be talking about this, because I was thinking about this recently, and until just now I'd forgotten that my mom's mother was also fascinated with this stuff, so it's kind of in the family with them, this interest in...
Is this where we find out you're a serial killer?
In crime, no. But I was thinking about it recently, because I was trying to figure out what that was about. You know, Jazz, listener and frequent commenter, you know, she's kind of a...
Oh, so we're not referring to the uniquely American musical?
No. All right. She's kind of an expert in this area, you know, where the emergence of the novel and crime stories and, you know, Sherlock Holmes detective stories and things like that. And so through talking a lot to her, I've gained some insight into the cultural phenomena and how it emerged, when it emerged, why it's still popular, who it's still popular with, so on. And I was trying to apply some of those same things to my mom and my grandmother to figure out, now, what was it for them that was so fascinating about this? And I'm pretty sure it wasn't the scandal of, you know, surrounding the death, whatever it was, you know, adultery or...
I'm guessing if we asked old people as a block, they would say it's the problem-solving, you know, aspects of it. It's the interest of solving the mystery.
Well, my mom's mother was also a big fan of crossword puzzles, you know, so that's obviously a part of it. But
if you look at juvenile fiction... That is in a similar... The Encyclopedia Brown stuff, things like that. Kids' mystery things. Mm-hmm. There are always some dumbass thing. Who took the tricycle or whatever? But if you look at the structure, mm-hmm. they're exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So this may be what it is. Because you couldn't... Matlock couldn't be a show about a guy defending people who double park.
No, no, right. But
it has to be serious, I guess.
I think there's also, yeah, serious, but I think there's also a good versus evil angle.
Okay.
I think, like...
Double parking people are evil?
For my mom, and not just liking these stories, and I think my grandmother was like this too, would like shows about forensics or whatever, to the idea that... first of all, the idea that there are truly evil people. You know, there are people doing truly evil things. But that these people can be stopped, you know, by, I don't know, just, again, it's like you can watch these shows and the things that are happening are things that you can imagine really happening in real life. And even the fictionalized accounts that aren't based on a true story or whatever are sometimes pulled from the files of actual crime, whatever. Yeah. So it's kind of a real life good versus evil, you know.
And there's this, you see justice.
Yes,
generally
you see good wins,
but yeah,
well, and it wins using it's things that you have yourself, like your own wits and science and whatever else.
And this is an argument that I get in with people in a lot of stories and stuff, where somebody does something really horrific, most commonly rape, and I'm like, I don't want to read that. I don't want to see that, whatever. And they're like, oh no, but in the end he gets totally, like, cut into 12 pieces by a knife slowly, like, and lemon juice poured on him. And I'm like, awesome. like give me the story that I don't it's not worth it to me to establish, like, to horrify myself to establish how bad this guy is, and then he gets punished. Is this Schadenfreude?
That doesn't...
Or what?
That doesn't do it for me.
And it's why, as much as I like the Dresden Files, Jim Butcher pisses me off, because Jim Butcher's favorite way of showing that somebody is evil is showing him do horrible things to women.
Yeah, yeah.
All over the place.
Well, it's, and you know what? It's not just him.
They mostly get their comeuppance. I still don't care. I would have loved to have avoided it. And it's, and if you look at every single episode of Matlock, of Murder, She Wrote, of Diagnosis Murder or whatever, there's always a last scene that's very lighthearted and silly or whatever. Somebody died like a week ago, was brutally murdered, and frequently like left loved ones, but like, but we're just over that now because we found the murder. I'm like, no, they're still dead. We're still not having happy times. Like,
I think I think ultimately for my mom and my grandmother, it was, I think they enjoyed indulging the belief that the same thing, the same gifts that would allow you to be good at doing a crossword puzzle could help you fight evil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think in, if they lived in a different time, you know, in a time of, you know, women are encouraged to go into STEM or whatever, either one of them or both of them might have been a forensic scientist, you know, solving crimes by analyzing, you know, the evidence or whatever, because they liked that idea. They liked the idea that, you know, this thing that they were reasonably good at or enjoyed could actually make the world a better place and not just be a pastime that they practice in the every morning from the newspaper, you know.
Yeah. But in answer to your question, Mark, I would avoid any of the modern, more realistic, gritty ones. I want the old ones where everybody's still remarkably happy and safe.
Yeah, the Andy Griffith Show. Drop me in there.
But that's not a mystery series.
What, did that's he, a it, sitcom. Did it he specify?
Mystery series. That's why we're talking about mystery series.
They had mysteries in Mayberry.
But like Murder, She Wrote, where everybody's still having fun.
Yeah.
Like, you always continue with the party or whatever anyway. And at the end, you can confront the murderer and you're safe.
Scooby-Doo.
The police show up in time.
That's a good one, because nobody dies.
Nobody ever dies.
And it always turns out that it's not...
Because nobody ever dies.
Really scary. But yeah, no...
But not the new ones that are more realistic. No, none of those.
Well, I don't think I'd even like the ones where, you know, the person is constantly being faced with a new murder every single week.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
What a terrible life. What the Murder, She Wrote woman, what's her name?
Yeah, Jessica Fletcher. Yeah. Why does anybody hang out with her?
That's a terrible life to lead.
Seriously.
Now, maybe Matlock, because he's experiencing these things because it's his job.
It's his job.
It's like,
although
it's like, if you're
still,
a cop.
It gets personal sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That might be okay, but...
Anyway.
The mystery shows where nobody dies, whatever those are.
No, but we're supposed to say what we would avoid.
All the rest.
The mystery shows where people die. Those are the ones we want to avoid.
Yeah. Never mind those.
Yeah.
Don't, or any other violent
yes.
Thing that's happening to them.
We
don't want those.
Be on the mystery show, the Smurfs.
And
actually, the Smurfs was remarkably violent. Never mind.
Scooby-Doo.
Yo Gabba Gabba, maybe?
Anything,
mystery
any
series?
Of those kid mystery things where someone steals the birthday cake or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah,
yeah. But not anything where someone...
Blue's Clues?
Yeah, Blue's Clues. I love Blue's Clues, man. At least
can
when
be on
the first guy.
Series,
the first
Blue's
guy.
Clues?
The first guy who did Blue's Clues.
Yeah, the one who got busted for cocaine or whatever.
Whatever.
So
he was
in his brother.
He was better than the second guy.
Yeah.
But all the rest of them, no. No okay. way. Those are the ones I'd
so
avoid.
Stay tuned next year for me and William in Blue's Clues. I play a pencil sharpener sitting on a shelf, and William plays a wastebasket. Anyway, we are over time, so join us next week on another exciting adventure of Blue's Clues. And thank you sincerely for all of you guys writing in. Continue to do so, please. But thank you, because you have saved the show. This show, not Blue's Clues. I think Blue's Clues is over.
Yeah, I think it is.
But this one. So take that as a good
thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
For, I mean, you can decide yourself, but we like it.
Yep.
Next week. Bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat at gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.